gift.
Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Luke, the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 22. Amen. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for a thought, I made it by prayer. Amen. I made it by prayer. How many know that some of us, we only made it by prayer? It's not because I was so good or because I was well-versed in scripture that I made it through some of the things I made it through. It's not because I knew exactly what to say, but it was because somebody prayed for me. Amen. We need to know that sometimes we can't even pray for ourselves. Amen. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 8, he says that you don't know what to pray for, so the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And since we don't know what to pray for, we got an advocate. We got a mediator. We got somebody that prays for us. Amen. Amen. You know, they used to have a song. One lady made it real famous. We used to always say, I had a praying mother, but Candace Staton, she said, I had a praying grandmother. Right. Amen. Many of us understand and know, we know that we're living right now based on what some of those prayers produced. The Gospel according to Luke, it is a book that I believe is very powerful. It's one of the longest books in the Bible. It tells us about who Jesus is as the Son of Man. Amen. To give us the great example of who he was. Amen. And how we ought to live and what we ought to do also. Amen. Luke was a doctor, a physician. So being a physician or a doctor, you know, he knows just what to give you. And I always say that he gives you the gospel. He prescribes this for you so that you'll take it. Amen. And that it'll bring health to your soul. Amen. Now, the setting that we're in is at the time is when Jesus is ready to have, it is time of unleavened bread, and Jesus is wanting to have Passover with his disciples. He said, I desire to eat with you. In that setting, he revealed that it was somebody sitting at the table whose hand was on the table with him that would betray him. Amen. How many know that sometimes it's people that are right there at the table with you? Amen. That, oh, come on and say amen. Whose hand is on the table with you that are setting up some evil device to try to bring you down. Amen. But we got to remember what Jesus did. Some of us will turn the table over. Some of us will get upset. Amen. And we throw some things. We throw some fists or whatever it is. You know, we want to do something. But Jesus didn't do none of that. He didn't. He went ahead and fed the man. And he fulfilled the scripture that said, when your enemy's hungry, give him bread to eat. I wish I had somebody. When he's thirsty, give him something to drink. He said, here's the cup, here's the bread. Then he told him, do it quickly. Amen. In the same setting here, he was preparing for his death. He was giving them understanding of things that was going to happen in his death. And then he began to tell them that they needed to eat of this supper and be a part of this because they needed to be a part of him. Amen. And then he began to talk to them about servanthood, because when he said he was about to leave, they started saying, oh, well, it's going to be me who's take over. It's going to be me. I'm going to be greater than this one, and I'm going to do more than that one. They begin to think that they had some type of right to something that he was going to leave them. Boy, don't that sound like family? Instead of being concerned about the events that are going to take place, all they were worried about is, what you going to leave us? Who you going to leave in charge? Oh, come on and say amen. Boy, it's a shame before God that people actually, that's the way we are, that we really are not concerned with individuals and the events that will happen in their life. We're concerned about what we can get from their life. Amen anyway. We are no different than the disciples, and they are no different than us. Amen. The difference is they walked 3.5 years with Jesus, and they still were like that. Some of us, we say we've been running for Jesus a long time, and we're worse off than they are. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. So when we look at this, sometime we ought to get better than they were. Amen. And the fact is that they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And here we are. We full of it, we say. And so here it is now. Jesus explains to them. He says, let the greatest among you be the servant, or act as the younger one. When I was a kid, I don't know about anybody else, but when I was young, we had a bunch of kids in our family. Being that I was the youngest, whatever they would get through eating, the older people, they would say, I'm going to say it like they said it. Go give me that dish rag and let me wipe my hands. Go give me some water and something else to drink. Put this plate up. I don't care what you was doing, you had to stop. And you had to do what they wanted you to do. Amen. He's saying, let the one who is the greatest be the servant, or as the younger. That's what it says. It said that in verse 26. He says that the greater act as though he's the younger. When it was time, we didn't have cable at the time, and we had antennas on our side of the house. Some of y'all too young to remember that. But I would have to go, I don't care if I did want to watch TV. I would have to sacrifice not watching TV. I don't care if I was playing or whatever I was doing. I had to go out there and turn the antenna. And sometimes the more antennas wouldn't act right. When you put your hand on it and you ain't turned it, they say right there. You take your hand off, turn it back. You touch it right there. Take it off, turn it back. So I had to stand there and hold it and keep my hand on the antenna while everybody else watch TV. See, sometimes if you want to be in this thing and you say you want to be somebody, sometimes you have to sacrifice not being able to do some things while everybody else is doing. Amen. You want me to say all that again? Sometimes you got to sacrifice not doing something while everybody else is doing the thing that you want to do. If you want to be something great in the kingdom, that's what Jesus said. Read the scripture. That's what he said. And so he's letting them know. He said, you can want to be great, but only those that serve can be great in my kingdom. I wish I had somebody. In verse number 30, he says, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit in the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He was saying, look, he said, you got to partake in this and you got to be a servant. So at that time, you will become one of those that are in my kingdom that will sit at my table. Yeah. You're sitting at this table now and you got the wrong spirit right now, but you got to do some things to be able to sit at my table. Amen. 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 And then goes on in verse 31. And the Lord said, and I like this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desire to have you and that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the first thing that we need to see here is that Satan's intention, what they are. His intention, he said, is first off to have you. Now, we need to understand that Satan wants to have us, but he can't. Because Jesus said, he that I have in my hand can no man pluck out. So, but he still, that don't keep him from wanting it. Amen. That doesn't keep him from wanting to have you. And so he tries every day of your life to have you. My God. See, the one thing that we aren't, that the devil is persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And consistent. Because he constantly comes to your life, comes at your life, amen, to sift you, amen, to try to have you, amen. He wants to have his way with you, basically. He wants to do what he wants to do, amen. And so Satan wants to have you, amen. And his intention, amen, is to have you, amen. Look at what he says. And he says, Satan desired to have you. Now, notice the word desired is in the past tense. This, from the beginning, Satan wanted you. Amen. This says that early on, Satan wanted you before you even got to the point that you are. Do you know that he wanted you? Before you decided to say that I'm going to church, I want to be saved, he already desired you. And Jesus said, I already made provisions for you that you not be had by the devil. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah, he says that he desired to have you. Amen. Now, when we look at the word desire, it is the word ekteseto in the Greek, which means to obtain by asking or to make a request or to beg for or to ask permission for. Just like in Job chapter 1, verse 6, part A of that, it says that that Satan came and asked the Lord for permission to afflict Job. Now, what we got to see is that Satan doesn't have, like some people think, power, all power, that he can just do what he wants when he wants, but he has to have permission to come in the gate and mess with you. He has to have permission to enter your life and to do anything. Amen? Now, the thing about it is that God can use Satan even as a tool to test you. He says that he's asking for you because he knows the motive of the devil is this, that he wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Amen? He wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He comes in the seasons of your life so that he can kill some things. He'll come back to destroy some things. Amen? He comes to steal some things. Amen? He comes in certain seasons of your life so that he can steal, kill, or destroy. He wants to have you. Amen? In other words, he went to God and said, let me have it. Let me have her. Amen. Ask him permission to do some things. He asked God, let me take care of Job for you. He said, Job only serves you because of the things that you give him. He said, now if you take those things away from him, he'll curse you to your face. And so what Satan does, he wants to challenge God about you. He wants to say that the only reason why you're here to serve God is for what you can get out of God. Not because you love him. Amen. Now we got to be real. Let's be real. There are some people that only go to church. There are some people that only say that they serve God for a limited time only so that they can get something for God. You know what I call them? No shoes, no shirt, no service. If you ain't giving me something, I'm not going to serve you. Amen? I'm not going to, if I can't get what I want, I'll come and I can get me an offering. I'll come, I can get me a healing. I'll come, I can get me a house or a husband, but then I'm through. Amen, anyhow. He says that Satan is telling God this, that you only serve him because of the suit you wear, the car you drive, and the house you live in, or things that you want in your future. Because you know that if you get with God, your future will be bright because he is the light. The intention of Satan is to destroy you, to kill and to steal and to destroy. He desired you, amen? He already desired you because he knows that you are created of God. He knows that you are anointed of God, so he wants to have you for himself, amen? He says he desired to have you and that he may sift you as wheat. Now, what he was saying here is that Satan wants to do the same thing to you as he did to Eve. He wants you to not recognize that you are who God said you are. He wants you to not have knowledge and understanding of the word of God and what God says about you and God's intention for you and his love for you and what he's made you already. He wants you not to know about that. He wants you to forget about that and focus on what he's saying so that he can get you off track and ultimately separate you from God. Let's look at it. He says that he desired to have you and that he may sift you as wheat. Amen? So he wants to what? Sift you as wheat. The word sift is the word sinase. Sin, I say. And it means to shake, to separate. The idea of shaking as you would to separate and sift things that you want to separate one thing from another, wheat from the chaff or whatever. A separation, amen? And so he's saying that he wants to shake you to the point until he separates you from God. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Satan wants to shake your life up. He wants to keep you shook. You know how some things happen in your life and you say, man, that shook me. He wants to keep you shook so that if he keeps shaking you, he'll shake you right away from God. He'll shake you loose from where you're supposed to be fastened to. Amen. It's some things that will happen in your life that will throw you for a loop, shake you up to the point that you say, I don't think I need to go to church no more. I don't even feel like praying. I don't want to read the Bible. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to find my bottle rather than the Bible. Oh, come on and say amen. It'll make you, oh, come on. It'll make you want to get high of something else rather than being high in the spirit. Amen. It'll shake you to a point that you'll give up what you know to do something you shouldn't do. Anybody ever been shook before? Amen. Then they say shake yourself again so that you, amen, so that you'll realize that what shook you didn't take you out. Amen. He says that Satan wants to separate you from God, and his ultimate goal is to hurt God's heart by hurting you. His ultimate goal is to bring a shame upon you, and therefore, then God, it makes him look bad. Amen? That's what Satan wants to do. He's trying to make God look bad by making you look bad because you wear the name. Because you say you're a Christian, because you say you belong to the Lord and you love God, he wants to bring a shame about you, amen? And so he's trying to make it seem as though you say that you are a believer and you're real about this. He's trying to make it seem as though you're not real so that people will call you a hypocrite. I don't want to be like that. Come on and say amen. He's trying to make it look as though you're not real, amen? And so he's trying to make it look like the only reason you serve God is for temporal things. The only reason you serve God is for what you can get out of him. I wish I had somebody. And so what Satan is trying to do, he's trying to separate you, and he'll do whatever it takes to separate you. But the Bible tells us that if we submit to God and we resist the devil, then he will what? Flee from us. Don't let him separate you. Don't let him separate you. Amen? Now, the one thing we got to understand is that it is impossible, first off, to be separated from the love of God. Paul said, for I am, Romans 8:38 said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature, nothing in creation can separate me from the love of God. Now, really, you know what that means? That means that God loves me no matter where I am in life, what I do in life, he still loves me. Now, we got to understand, though, he loves us, but, you know, even though he loves us, we still need to have a love for him. Amen. Amen. We still have to have a love for him. And when we have a love for him, that makes the bond stronger. Amen. 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 It makes us cohesive that we cannot be separated and pulled apart from God. I can't be pulled apart from the things of God. I can't be pulled apart from the word of God. You can't separate us without, you know how you take, if you take some duct tape and you put it on some paper and you try to pull it off, and what happens? You pull the paper off with it. Amen. In other words, if you try to separate me from God, you're going to find out that God is all on me. You can't make a distinction. You can't make a separation. You'll find out that whatever, if you try to pull me away from God, I'm going to take God with me no matter what. Oh, come on and say amen. So you'll see God regardless. Amen. Because I'm going to stay connected to him. Amen. Look at this. He says that he desires to sift you as wheat. Amen. Now wheat you can take wheat. Wheat is what we use. We grind it up and we make flour and stuff like that. We make bread out of it. Amen. But it also is a seed. Amen. He wants to sift you and separate you. Amen. But look at this. He wants to, when we are grounded, or when wheat is grounded, you can make bread from it. In other words, he's saying that while you in raw form, before you become what you're intended to become, Satan wants to get you on the bottom level. Satan don't want you to become what God has in store for you. Amen. The purpose that God planted you is so that he can make something out of you. But before you get to be that something that God wants you to be, he wants to get hold of you and sift you, separate you before you can get to what God wants you to be. So what you're going through now is a sifting. Oh, but somebody prayed. Oh, I made it by prayer. Look at what he says. He says that he desired to do these things, but anybody know that you got to have some butts in your life? Amen. He decided to do some things, but God, amen. Satan has afflicted my body, but God is a healer. Come on. Satan decided that he wanted to afflict my soul, but God will deliver me. Come on and say amen. We got to know that God is saying that Satan does this, but I'm going to do that. Amen. You may be weak, but God say, I'll be your strength. Amen. You may be poor, but God say, let the poor say, I am rich. Amen. You may be in need, but God said he'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. We got to realize that when God says, but you got to look at what comes after, but. Oh yeah. He said, I have prayed. Oh yeah. But is an indication that something happened, but is a change that's going to happen. It changes the whole way that everything looks. On one side of this thing, it looked bad. And but changes what it looks like. One side of it, oh yeah, when you put but in a sentence, it changes the whole meaning of what the sentence started out to mean. So I'm so thankful that God put a but in my life. Because look at, he says that the devil desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. Oh yeah, but he said, but I have prayed for you. I prayed for you. Isn't it good to have somebody praying for you? Oh yeah, it is good to have the Lord. Now we see Satan's intentions, but now we see the Savior's intercession. Oh, yeah, our Savior, he intercedes for us. He prayed in the past tense. He said, look, the devil in the past wanted to sift you at this moment that's coming up. He already asked for you before you got to this because we know that this moment was coming, and he already prayed that he could have you. But look, I had a prayer that got through. You know, the devil prayed or asked God. That's what he did. He prayed. He asked God for Simon. But then Jesus said that I got a prayer more powerful than that. Oh, Lord, help me today. Look, he said, and I prayed for you, but I have prayed for you. We got to see that Jesus, he is our intercessor. He's our mediator. The Bible said that he's forever at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Amen. He's there to talk on our behalf. That's why in the old church, they used to say he's a lawyer in the courtroom. Do you know that God is a judge? And since he's a judge, you need a good lawyer. Not the man with the hat. Come on and say, man. But you need the man with the holes in his hand. You need the one with the nail prints, the one with the thorny crown. That's who you need. Come on and say, man, here. He's the intercessor of your soul. He said, you're going to make it because I prayed for you. You see, I made it by prayer. I don't know about you, but it's a whole lot of things that happened in my life, and I know that the only reason I made it is because of prayer. I made it by prayer. He said that I prayed for you. And he said, not only did I pray for you, but I prayed that your faith fail not. And so what was he saying here? He was saying, I pray that your faith fail not. Not that he'd not failed the trial, because we know he did. We know that he failed the trial, didn't he? But he prayed that he would not fail, that his falling wasn't going to be final. Amen? That he didn't fail at having faith. See, we can't fail, even though we fall into things, don't fail at having faith. Amen. If you fail at having faith, then your fall could be final. Help me, Lord. See, what happened was Simon believed on God. He believed in Jesus, although he had some failures. Now, all of us, we got some faults, some frailties, and some failures in our life. But guess what? Those things are not final in our life. Because as long as we believe God, as long as we have faith in God, whatever condition you find yourself in because of your fall, God can pick you up and turn those things around. Amen in here. Oh yeah, he says that, he said that I pray that your faith fail not. So he didn't fail at having faith in God because he knew what God could do. Amen. So the Bible tells us in Psalm 37, he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that he delighted in his way, amen, and in his law, amen, and he meditates in the law of God. And so what we got to understand here is that a person who is a good man, now a good man doesn't mean that he's a perfect man, but it means that he's good because of God's grace. Oh, come on and say amen now. It means that he learns how to get back up even after he falls and get back in line and say, I'm going to do the right thing this time. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about somebody that ain't just talking it, but they are walking it. Amen. They say, I failed. Yes, I failed, but I got back up and I'm back in line to do what God wants me to do. Oh, yeah, the steps of a good man, amen, they're ordered by the Lord. What that means is your stops, your starts, your stages, the things you go through, God orders those. The trials that you go through, God allows those. Come on and say, man, those things, the Bible said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but it's happening to everybody. All of us are going through, but not all of us are making it through. Help me, Holy Ghost. He says now that he prayed that when you fail, that is not final in your life. I'm interceding for you that when you have your falls, you'll be able to get up. That's what God is saying. We fall down, but we get up. Amen. God is saying, get up from where you are. Don't wallow in what you're in. Don't sit and have a pity party and sit there and complain about being where you are. If you don't like where you are, get up. If you don't like being there, get up. Amen, amen, amen. If you don't like it, just get up and say, I refuse to stay here because I got faith that God has something greater for me. I have faith that I'm going to be better than I was before. I have faith that I'm not going to react and respond and do what I did last time. Come on and say amen here. Don't have fear that I'm going to fail again. But have faith that if I take a step of faith and a leap of faith, that God will hold me up. He said, I pray that your faith fail not. Now, we understand that Satan has a bad intention. And when we understand people have bad intentions, we normally, as people, we get away from them. But the problem with us is that we think that Satan has plenty to offer. Without saying it and without really thinking it, we think that he has plenty to offer because we go after the world full force. We don't go after God full force. We want God to come after us full force. Come on and say amen. We go after things of the world with all we got. And if we can't have it, we'll cry and fight and kick and scream and do everything we got to do to try to get it. We'll lie, we'll cheat, we'll steal. Whatever we got to do to get it, we'll do it. But Satan has bad intentions for you. But thank God we have a Savior who intercedes for us, who makes provision for us. Amen? Lastly, we got to see the Savior's instructions. Look at what he says. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. When you're converted, strengthen your brother. These are the instructions from Jesus. He says that you're going to fall, but you're going to have enough experience. My Lord. He said, look, he said, tribulation work patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. This ought to build your faith. This thing that you go through ought to make you strong enough that you got enough experience that when you see other people going through, you say, that ain't nothing. I can see you making it. You know what? And that's why I see what God did with me so that I'll be able to tell people it's going to be all right and mean it. Because I know he'll bring you through it. I know that he'll make a way for you. It may not turn around tonight, but one night the morning is going to come. Oh, yeah, weeping may endure for a night or two or three nights, but joy, I'm looking for it, comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He said, when you're strengthened, when it's done, when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Now, when you look at the word converted, it is the word epistrepho, which means to turn around. He said, when things turn around for you, when things turn around, when you turn around, when your mind is changed,